There, are we good? All right. Romans chapter 7. All right, we're going to read verses 14 through down through verse 25, the end of the chapter, for our text here. And by way of introduction here, before we read, this is really one of the easiest passages of Scripture for me personally to identify with, because it really tells the absolute truth about the life of a believer. And I can easily identify with what the Apostle Paul says here in these verses. Let's go ahead and read together. You follow along as I read verses 14 through 25. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." I want to talk to you this morning about this passage, and the title of the message this morning is, "O Wretched Man That I Am." Some commentators feel that Paul is, in this passage here, describing the life of a carnal Christian. That he's telling us how saved men who refuse to yield to the Spirit of God would live their lives. But when I read this, I don't think that's what he's talking about at all, by the way. But when I read this in these verses, to me, it becomes intensely personal. And I can relate on a very real level with what Paul is saying here. And it's almost as if Paul rips back the covers of his own life and gives us an intimate portrait of himself and the struggles that he faces in his own Christian life. Now, I don't believe at all that this is a description of a carnal believer, but I actually believe it's the portrait of one who is maturing in Christ because of his perspective. It is the way it is in the life of a child of God. And Paul basically describes here what life is like, pulling no punches, holding no bars, hold and so on. This is how life is for the Apostle Paul. And I would say that if we're honest this morning, most of us could say that we can identify with everything that Paul says here. That what I don't want to do, that's what I do. The things that I do want to do, that's what I don't end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. While Paul is writing about himself here, I think what he's doing is actually writing about our lives as well. And so I want to look at these verses this morning and consider this thought, "O wretched man that I am." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding here. And Father, again, I ask that you'd encourage us with truth from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thought to bring out here is in verse 14. Paul states some facts here. In verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He states some facts here, that the law is spiritual, number one, and that number two, he is carnal. Let's consider that the law is spiritual. Paul has just stated in the verses prior to this that there's a problem between himself and the law of God. But the problem isn't with the law of God. The problem was with Paul himself. And he reminds us that the law of God is spiritual in nature, and it's a good thing. The law of God is very good in that it reveals the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. Look what he said in verse 12, the verses prior to this. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. He says the law is spiritual, and it's a good thing because it shows God's holiness and my sinfulness. And without the law of God, I wouldn't know what sin is, and I wouldn't know how desperately wicked I am compared to the holiness of God. And so the law is spiritual, and it's good, but then he says, listen, and by the way, the very fact that the law of God originated from God is proof that it's good. Amen? The problem doesn't lie with the law of God, but the problem lies with mankind. And that's what Paul says. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal. The word carnal means fleshly. And what he's saying is the law of God is good and it's spiritual, but my flesh is sinful. While the law of God would teach man about God's holiness, all the flesh is interested in is in that which is sinful, the opposite of the law of God. And what Paul is saying here is that there's a part of him that is still prone to sin. Even though he's a child of God, and even though he has the new nature, there's still a part of him that is prone to sin. It's the old sinful nature that is still present in his life. Now, earlier, Paul in Romans, remember that Paul said that the old flesh is to be reckoned or to be counted as dead. When we're alive in Christ and we've been placed in Christ, we're to reckon ourselves dead to the old man. To be count him as dead, yes, we're to do that. But the old flesh is still there. It didn't go away. It's still very present. And at the moment of salvation, we receive a brand new nature, and now we have two. We've got the new man, the one that's created in Christ Jesus. That's the part of us that loves God's law. That's the part of us that will always agree with God that he's right. It's our soul and our spirit that's been forever been redeemed from sin. That's the new man, but we still have the old man, the old sinful flesh. And let me tell you something this morning. In case you weren't aware of it, which I'm sure you are, the flesh is still as wicked as it ever was. We're born again. We're redeemed. We're new in Christ. But the flesh is still as wicked as it ever was. The flesh is corrupt and it cannot ever become good. There's no part of our flesh that is good. Not only that, our flesh is as mean as it ever was. It still possesses all the same old ungodly worldly appetites that it always has had. And Paul states here in verse 14, I am carnal, sold under sin. The flesh has always been and ever will be a slave to sin. The flesh is wicked, plain and simple. The flesh and sin is so wretched and so powerful, potentially powerful, in the life of a redeemed person that, listen, it is ever striving to dominate all of your life. There's a battle that is raging, and the flesh will ever be striving to dominate all of your life. And that, this verse right here, sets the stage for the rest of the chapter as Paul describes this battle between the flesh and the spirit that he is locked in. And it's the same battle that we are locked in this very morning. It can be difficult, but it's one that can be that we can be victorious in if we have the right perspective and we go to the right source. And so Paul states some facts here. He says, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. sold under sin, the flesh and the spirit, there's a battle that rages. In the verses 15 through 20, we find that Paul states his failures. He gives us a picture of his life. And he says in verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." That wording can seem kind of confusing if you're not tracking along with what Paul says. Let's try to break these verses down here as Paul describes for us his failures. There's a contest that he talks about in verses 15 and 16. Note it. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Paul is describing the inward struggle here for every believer. The word allow in verse 15 is an interesting word. Note what he says. For that which I do, I allow not. The word allow here means to know, or it means to understand. All right, so understand what he's saying. The things that I do, I don't even know or understand. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not." It means to know or to understand. And Paul's saying that he doesn't even understand why he does what he does sometimes. He wants to live right. He wants to say the right things. He wants to think the right things, but so often he doesn't. And I don't even understand why I do the things that I do sometimes. Can you relate to that? Yeah. You're going about your day, you know, and it's a good day, and you're just living your life, and you're trying to please the Lord, and then all of a sudden you just get lambasted out of nowhere from some thought that comes into your mind, or you're having a good day, and it's a good conversation with your wife, and she says something that just kind of all of a sudden just irks you, and the next reaction is just boom. And then after it's all over and you have to go back really sheepishly and apologize and tell her what a jerk you are. Like, where in the world did that come from? I don't even understand why I do what I do sometimes. That's what Paul's saying here. That which I do, I allow not. I don't even understand it half the time. And then he says, "But what I hate, that do I." The word hate, it means to detest. And so Paul says, what I detest about me, the sin about me, that's what I end up doing. Essentially, there's a contest that's going on. When God says something is good, the flesh wants just the opposite. When the law says something is bad, the flesh says that it's a good thing. It's a contest between the old man and the new man. Look at Galatians chapter 5 with me. Galatians 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Does that sound like what Paul's saying in Romans 7? This contest going on here, and it's a hindrance, and it's a contest, but you can't do the things that you would. Paul says, the things I do want to do, I don't do. The things that I hate, the things I detest, that's what I end up doing. What's the reason for that? Well, Paul says the reason for that is because there are two Pauls. Verses 18 and 19, Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." There's a desire there to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Here's the inward struggle. And the reason for the inward struggle is because there are two Pauls. The one wants to do right, and the other wants to do wrong. But those two share the same body, and they fight over everything. And he finds that he is hindered when it comes to doing the right thing, but his flesh sure does help to want to do the wrong thing. And anytime there's something good that he wants to do, he's hindered because of his flesh is always fighting. How many of us can relate to that this morning? There's a part of me that wants to please God in everything I do. There's a part of me that wants to love the Lord and wants to do right and wants to agree with God right down in my soul, the bottom of it. It's the reality is I want to love God in everything and please God in everything. There's a part of me that wants that. And I wish I could do it with perfection, but there's another part that fights at every turn. Living day to day like that, up 1 minute because, hey, I'm walking with the Lord. Read my Bible this morning, prayed. I surrendered my will to God this morning. I said, God, whatever you want me to do today, you just lead. I'm yours today. I've been encouraged in the Word of God. Man, it's sunshine outside. Man, the blessings of God are great. You with me? Have you ever been there? And then the next thing you know, you're bombarded with sinful thoughts, had the wrong reaction, said the wrong thing, you got a bad attitude going on, and up, and then down, and then up, and then down, living with this struggle can sort of be defeating and discouraging if we don't have the right perspective. We could live defeated Christian lives if we don't have the right perspective, because the fact is, this is the reality, isn't it? It's the reality. You've got the new nature, and there's a part of you that always wants to please God, but there's something that's fighting at every turn. That's the reality of the Christian life, because we have two natures. That could be discouraging and defeating if we don't have the right perspective. We can really easily come to the conclusion, oh, wretched man that I am. Which in reality, we'll get to in a minute, is not a bad conclusion to come to. Paul says here in these verses, he says, there's a contest going on. I don't even understand why I do what I do sometimes. The things that I detest, I end up doing. The things that I don't want to do. And the reason for that is because there are two natures. And the conclusion that Paul draws to that is in verse 17 and verse 20. He says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Twice in these verses, Paul tells us that the problem is his old sinful nature. The real him, the real man, the real Paul, the new Paul, wants to please the Lord. But the problem is the old sinful nature. It's the old Paul who still longs for wickedness that's at fault here, who's still trying to get control in his life. But you know, when Paul says, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, Paul's not making excuses for sin. He also isn't throwing up his hands in despair and saying, oh, well, I can't win anyway, so I might as well just go with it. That's not what he's saying either. That's not his attitude. And that's going to become clear in just a moment. But let me say this to you. So often that becomes the attitude of saints of God who live in defeat. They're struggling and fighting with the flesh all the time, and they have adopted this attitude that I can't fight it anymore, I can't beat it, so I might as well just go with it. And they yield and they give in to their flesh. And many people grow weary from the struggle. And they end up being defeated and discouraged. Paul's statement here It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's not a statement of resignation. His statement is actually one of victory. And he's going to give the secret to his victory in just a moment. But his statement here is simply an explanation of the conflict that is within. If there's an understanding of the conflict within, then we can go to the right source for victory. Paul states the facts. Hey, I'm carnal. I'm sinful. My flesh is. There's no good thing in me. He states his failures. You know what? I struggle too. Half the time I don't even understand why I do what I do, but I know this, it's my old sinful flesh that's at fault. In verses 21 to 23, Paul states his findings. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. First of all, Paul says in verse 21 that he's got a companion. He finds that he has a companion. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Here's his companion that he doesn't really want, but it's there. The word law here, it actually means principle. So it's not law as in like the law of God. It's not used in that way. It means a principle. So Paul says, I find that a principle here. If this is the way it is, that half the time I don't understand why I do what I do, and the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I do want to do, I don't do those. Back and forth, this is the two natures in the battle. I find this principle. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. Every time he tries to do the good thing, evil is always there. It's his companion. And you know what? This is the truth of the matter. Every good thing is always challenged by evil. Isn't it true that when we would do good, there's always temptation to do wrong? Man, I'm telling you, I've learned this over the years, that temptations are often the strongest right before something spiritual. I mean, I'll tell you, personally, you know, I live my life from Sunday to Wednesday and Wednesday to Sunday. I mean, that's how my life is lived. And those are things, those are important things, and there's spiritual things to be done, and there's spiritual work to do. But Sunday comes around, and there's a spiritual battle that's going to take place. But I'm telling you, I have fought a spiritual battle well before Sunday with my flesh. And often, temptations are the strongest right before the spiritual. Have you ever found that to be true? Man, Saturday nights are sometimes the worst nights of the week. When everything can possibly go wrong, does. Murphy and his law and all of his brothers and all of his in-laws come on over. And the temptation is to react in the flesh. You know? It's hilarious how easy it is for the flesh to take over. Even just last night, we were practicing music for today. And it was kind of a short term, like spur of the moment, we got to get something together. We don't know what we're doing. And we're going through this song, we're going through that song, and all of a sudden, before you know it, frustration is setting in. Because we don't have anything down, and we're supposed to sing in the morning, and all of a sudden the attitudes just start to get a little on edge. It's time to take a step back. My wife says, we should have prayed before we started singing. I'm like, yeah, we should have. It's very easy. That's the reality. And Paul says here, here's the principle. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Every good thing is challenged by evil. Isn't it hard to keep your motives pure when you're going to serve the Lord? Isn't it hard to keep your motives pure? Isn't it difficult to control the thoughts? Yeah, sure it is. It always is. And the only people who don't struggle with a sinful nature are people who are still lost in their sins. And the reason they don't struggle is because they're simply doing what their nature is to do, and it's not a struggle for them. Every saved person is going to struggle with the old sinful nature, and sin is a constant, wicked companion for the saved person. Paul says, I find a law, a principle, when I would do good, evil is present with me. But he makes a confession in verse 22, where he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now Paul shows the other side of himself. He loves the law. Whatever God has said in his word, that was his delight for the new Paul, for the new man. But you know what? This is also true for every saved individual. If you're saved, if you're truly saved, you know what? Deep down, you love the law of God. You love his word. The new man, the real me, is delighted to obey and wants to please God with all of my heart. And you know what? That's a good thing. If a person hears the word of God and they hate the thought of obeying and doing things God's way, probably dealing with an unsaved person. However, when the word of God is our delight, it shows that we've been converted, we've been changed. Look with me in a few psalms here. Psalm 119, I want you to turn over there with me. Psalm 119. In verse 97, verse 97 says, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know what? That's not the heart attitude of an unsaved person who loves the law of God and wants to obey God. Look at verse 48 of Psalm 119. Verse 48 says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Look at verse 113 of this psalm. Verse 113 says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Look at verse 127. Wherefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 159 says, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Listen, when the word of God is our delight, it shows that we're converted and we're changed. But when someone hears the word of God and the law of God and they hate the thought of obeying it or doing things God's way, they're probably not even saved. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Paul says, I delight to do the law of the Lord after the inward man. But then you get back to our text there in Romans 7 and look at verse 23. Paul talks about captivity. In verse 23, he says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Although Paul's heart is set on doing the will of God, there's another part of himself that fights him at every turn and seeks to bring him into captivity. And it's just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, this is a situation which all of us can identify with if you're a child of God. The inner man wants God and the things of God, but the flesh only wants the world. And Paul states that the problem is his flesh, and that it's ever trying to bring him again into bondage. And that's the reality of the problem that you and I face day to day. Our flesh is seeking to bring us into bondage again, and it's a battle that's not ever going to end as long as we're in this body. So what's the solution? It can be discouraging. It can be defeating if we don't have the right perspective. And Paul says, half the time I don't understand why I do these things. And the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Here's my flesh. Here, I want to do the will of God. I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. All of those things. And the conclusion that he draws is in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Is that a statement of defeat here that Paul is making? Or is it something else? Look at verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? First of all, consider Paul's view of himself. Paul's description of himself here is that he is a wretched man. Now, in our minds, we might not think that this describes the Apostle Paul. How could it? He's such a godly man, and so on. Does this really describe Paul? And I would say, yes, I think it does. This is a statement here, not of one who is defeated, but this is a statement of a mature man of God. And here's why. Because as a Christian matures in the Lord and grows closer to the Lord and depends more upon the Lord, as he grows in his knowledge of Jesus Christ, that saint of God becomes more keenly aware of just how wicked they really are in comparison with God. And the more that I grow in the Lord, the worse that old flesh looks beside Jesus Christ, which would cause the mature saint of God to come to the conclusion, oh, wretched man that I am. Are you follow that? Paul's not making a statement of defeat, but it's the statement of a mature man of God coming to the understanding that we really are wicked, wretched people. It's only those who are immature who don't really think that they're that bad. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. No, we're not in comparison to Christ. That's Paul's view of himself, but then consider the last verse, Paul's victory. He says, his question is, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Here Paul states where his victory comes from. And he reminds us of the fact that there's a day coming when the children of God are going to be delivered from these wretched bodies. When the Lord comes for his own, whether that's in the grave or in the clouds, hey, one day we're going to leave off this flesh. We're going to leave it behind when we leave this world behind. And you know what? I long for that day. Do you? But I think there's more here. Paul's not just talking about victory when we finally leave this flesh behind and we're with the Lord. I think there's another meaning in view here. Paul is actually praising the Lord for the victory that he has over his flesh right now. In the midst of the battle, in the midst of the struggle, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's the power of Jesus Christ. Even though we fail, even though we fall into sin, even though sometimes we come short, so often there is still victory over the flesh in the Lord right now. Because Paul said earlier, we're to reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin. Amen? To count this old flesh as dead. There wasn't, I don't think, we don't read about it in Scripture anyway, of a time when Paul stopped fighting his old sinful flesh. In fact, we read how he continually fought his flesh. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Here's Paul's thinking. I'm not going to be brought under the power of my flesh again. You get to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, And Paul says in verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." The statement of verse 27, "but I keep under my body," it literally means to give it a black eye, to buffet it. Paul says he fought and buffeted and gave his flesh a black eye. He was always fighting the flesh, but he wasn't fighting in the power of the flesh. The victory was through Christ. And Paul goes on in chapter 8 of Romans. Go over to Romans, our text there again. Paul goes on in chapter 8 to show the necessity of walking in the Spirit of God for victory. In fact, in verse 1, Paul says in chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Look at verse 4. "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come. But Paul says in chapter 8, and showing the necessity of walking in the Spirit of God for victory over this flesh. And I would bring it all to a close here this morning by simply saying what a lesson this is for the child of God. You and I can relate very clearly. Half the time we don't understand why we do what we do. Amen? The things that we do want to do, we don't. The things we don't want to do, that's what we do. And that can be very frustrating if we don't have the right perspective. But instead of rolling over and making it easy for the flesh to gain victory in our life, saints of God, victory is in Christ, in walking in the Spirit. Let's fight our flesh. Let's take our stand in Jesus Christ. Fight sin. Fight the flesh. Fight the will to do wrong. Because there's victory in the Lord. But how often do we just sort of roll over and give in? Have you seen yourself at all in these verses? I know I've seen myself. I've seen the same struggle in my life that Paul writes about. But I'm encouraged in this. And I'm going to leave you with this here this morning. Do some self-examination right now. And see how well you're really fighting. Are you giving in too easily? That's usually what it is, isn't it? We just kind of give in and we go with the bad attitude. We just sort of give in and go with the temptation. We just sort of give in and become discouraged. Are you allowing the flesh to gain the upper hand without a fight? Hey, there's real victory in Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, I see how wretched I am, but there's victory in my Savior, in my Christ." Amen? Amen. Fight. Don't let the flesh gain the upper hand. Take your stand in the Lord. Claim victory in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bring us to a place of more stability and maturity in Christ, that we'd not be tossed to and fro. And yes, there's a battle that's raging day to day between the flesh and the Spirit. And sometimes it does hinder progress. But Father, I pray that we would understand who we are in Christ and reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And walk in the Spirit so that we would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Father, as we draw closer to Christ, we'll see how wretched that sinful flesh really is in comparison to Christ, which is going to cause us to lean harder on the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen and encourage the brethren today, that we don't have to give in to our flesh. We don't have to roll over, but we can put up the fight and claim victory that is ours in Christ and keep the body in subjection, that we might become vessels and tools and instruments that are clean and that are usable by the Lord for His glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.